Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number. To a good life's sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Tom, for our 7-7 top headline. So Baylor rolls the Zags to win the national championship game 86-70. We talked about this in the first hour. This win marks the first men's basketball title for the Bears in the history of the program. Baylor absolutely spoiling Gonzaga's perfect season. Kevin, as I said earlier, we wanted this game, but not the way we expected it to go down.
But a delightful way for it to go down for those that were backing Baylor throughout it. Ultimately, I now view this Baylor team, when people say, oh, who's the best college basketball team you've ever seen? They won't be the answer for me, but they'll always be a team that gets a mention as one of the best that I've seen, because I viewed them neck and neck all year long with Gonzaga. Gonzaga meets that description. Baylor does as well.
And when speaking of Baylor, we got to talk about Jared Butler. He wins the most outstanding player. He steals the show, 22 points, 3 boards, 7 assists yesterday, plus 600 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win in this outstanding player market. But for those that got it, great value.
Yeah, absolutely. 20 plus points, 7 plus assists in the game. The first since Carmelo Anthony to do that since 2003. And he hit two threes in the beginning of the first half that cannot go unnoticed. Because had Gonzaga come out and say they hit two threes, and all of a sudden it was a five-point game, it's a different vibe. But instead, it went the other way, and Butler hit big shots and kept this thing at double digits, and at the entire night made sure to keep Gonzaga at arm's length. Very deserving. He was their best player throughout this season and takes home that award. Really, really good stuff.
Yes, good stuff there. Let's switch it over to the field. QB update. New York Jets trade Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers for 3 draft picks, a 6th rounder in the 2021 draft, which is later this month, and a 2nd rounder and a 4th rounder in 2022. Jets already hold the number 2 overall pick. Then now they can obviously grab that number 6 spot. Hopefully they do the right thing in this position, though, Kev.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, for the Jets now, it solidifies that they're going to be taking a quarterback with the 2nd overall pick in this draft, even if we already felt that way. Of course, this solidifies such a thing. Well, what are the Panthers going to be doing at 8? It felt like they were going to be drafting quarterback, but now that doesn't really make much sense after acquiring Sam Darnold. Do they not like the quarterbacks? Do they think all the quarterbacks are going to be gone? I think that's something to wonder, and what this might do to, of course, our beloved mock drafts.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. And then in the MLB, Padres shortstop Fernando Tatis suffers partial shoulder dislocation on a big swing in the 3rd inning against the Giants. Padres went on to lose the game 3-2. Tatis could face a season-ending surgery, while it's unfortunate that it's only been 1 week of MLB and we're already having somebody who's so important to his team go down.
No, it's incredibly sad. Fernando Tatis was a joint favorite with Juan Soto to win the NL MVP. Well, Soto is now on his own 6-1, and Fernando Tatis is gone. Fernando Tatis no longer an option to win NL MVP. We don't know the severity of the injury just yet, but of course it's not been positive vibes around the Padres and their star player, and that is really, really crushing, because I've been excited by this baseball season. We're going to talk some baseball here in our number 2, and Fernando Tatis is one of the people that gets you excited about this game.
Yes, and a lot of people are really looking forward to watching the Padres, so that's very, very fortunate there. Welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. It's also Kev Masters Week, so looking at the odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, co-favorites, plus 950 right now. Then you have Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas at 11-1, and John Rahm sits at 12-1. We're going to be breaking down all things about the Masters throughout the week, but really looking forward to it.
And one important update for our guy John Rahm at 12-1. The wife has delivered the kid. So, no worries about John Rahm running out of here. Happened last week. So, we were kind of wondering if John Rahm was going to have to bounce due to the fact that his wife was expecting. But the kid has been delivered a little bit earlier than expected. Good for the Rahm family. And I now would be putting money on John Rahm. We've seen dad strength work wonders in the NBA playoffs. Fred VanVleet, Mike Conley, John Rahm might win this thing going away.
Yeah, that would be so interesting if he doesn't. A great storyline. All right, keeping with our headlines here. North Carolina has promoted longtime assistant Herbert Davis to replace Roy Williams as the Tar Heels' new head basketball coach. Davis has been the assistant coach under Williams for the past 9 seasons in Chapel Hill. I mean, UNC has a history of going with, you know, assistant coaches and kind of keeping everybody within that family and organization there. So no surprise they went with a longtime assistant.
Yeah, and ultimately right now North Carolina checks in at 30-1 to win next year's NCAA tournament. A lot of teams in front of them on this board that you wouldn't typically see, right? Purdue, Virginia Tech, another ACC foe. It's going to be interesting for Hubert Davis, to try and build this program back up to the dominance that it once had over the ACC and, of course, college basketball.
Yeah, and then last night in the NBA, the Nets win a New York rivalry game against the Knicks 114-112 despite James Harden's exit. Kyrie Irving posting 40 points in that game, assisted by Joe Harris and Jeff Green. We'll break down this game in a little bit, but just overall great win for the Nets who just keep putting up those wins.
Yeah, and if you're the Sixers, this has to be maddening. I mean, can this team lose a game is what you have to be saying if you're a Sixers fan. No KD ever. Harden hurt, leaves the game hurt. Doesn't matter. They just keep putting wins up on the board. The Knicks have now actually fallen back to the 8th spot in the East.
Yes, and coming up next, we're going to talk all things in the MLB. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Kev, so let's get into some baseball. So favorites went 8-4 straight up with the Rays, Red Sox closing pick'em. Biggest upsets by the Phillies over the Mets and the Giants over the Padres. Unders went 8-5. Let's get into a little bit of recap and preview here. Orioles, Yankees. So coming into this game, we know the Orioles swept the Red Sox. Yankees coming off. They lost a series against the Blue Jays, but the Yankees said, oh no, they beat the Orioles 7-0 under hits. Humbling loss for them as Jorge Lopez posted a 7.71 ERA in that game. While over on the Yankees side, Montgomery played well for the Yankees with many shutouts in the first 6 innings pitch. So, Kev, what are your overall thoughts on this game? And as you know, they're going to play each other again tonight, the Orioles right now. And the Yankees game has a total of 8 with the Orioles as heavy underdogs at plus 245.
Yeah, so before we talk about tonight's game, just yesterday's matchup for the Yankees, it's everything that you could want. The pitching throws a shutout with Jordan Montgomery looking excellent in the manner that which he did during spring training. We've talked about it during spring training. 10 innings, only allowed the one run. So he goes 6 strong, scoreless baseball, strikes out 7. His K prop checked in at 5.5, so he cashes the over for those that backed him. And then offensively, Aaron Judge goes deep, first time all season. You were waiting on that. And then Giancarlo Stanton hits a grand slam. And that's what everybody was waiting on, because Giancarlo Stanton is going to continue to be a point of contention for Yankees fans, Yankees backers. I mean, he's batting .083 on the season. I mean, he's been awful. And this grand slam doesn't erase that. But at least can maybe put him back on track, Aaron, to some level of consistent production. It was a monster shot that Stanton hit, and Yankees fans, anytime you win 7-0, will be very, very happy with that result.
Yeah, and just historically, will a team, if they, let's say, shut a team out like that, 7-0, in the next game, is it possible to continue to shut out? Obviously, you can do that, but statistically, do you think that's something that usually doesn't happen or something you don't see as often, considering the total is still high at 8?
Yeah, so it really will depend who the next day's opponent is on the mound. And unfortunately for the Orioles, they'll now see the ball turned over to Gerrit Cole, the AL's Cy Young favorite, tied at least with Shane Bieber. Last year, they saw Cole twice. They actually took the first game off of Gerrit Cole, but then the second game, he pitched a seven-inning complete game. Doubleheaders were weird. Struck out 9 and only allowed 2 hits and 0 runs. So this is a guy that struck out in the 2 games that he saw them, 19 over the 2 games. I would be interested in what they did with a K prop for Gerrit Cole. The way I would look to try to play the Yankees tonight, I can't lay minus 300 on a single baseball game. The Yankees are laying a run and a half at minus 144. I don't also like to lay a run and a half at that kind of price. Typically, a minus 300 favorite would be associated with a minus 2.5 run line. I would maybe investigate an alt run line, maybe an alt run line over the first 5. Try and get a plus number there and look for the Yankees to be routing the Baltimore Orioles with their bats waking up yesterday and with Gerrit Cole on the mound.
All right, let's switch it over to another game. Phillies-Mets. So how about the Phillies? 4-0, beating the Mets in their first game of the season with an impressive 5-run inning in the 8th, rallying to win the game 5-3. Off the bat, just Jacob DeGrom. Poor Jacob DeGrom. You sent yesterday a very interesting stat that I need you to tell all our listeners and viewers right now.
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom has been the best pitcher in baseball now for a couple of seasons. And really the only reason that there is some breathing room for folks to debate this is because the Mets just turn into a complete clown show anytime this guy is on the bump. He leaves the game after throwing 6 scoreless, striking out 7, and only allowing 3 hits with what you would hope would be a win. But no, of course not. They blow this game. And Jacob DeGrom, since 2018, has an ERA of 2.07, which is remarkable. The Mets are 36-41 in those starts. The guy almost never allows 3 runs. It's almost always 1 or 0. You have a losing record in his starts. It's unacceptable. You know, we were talking during the commercial break, and our producer Brian said if it was literally any other sport, Jacob DeGrom would be requesting a trade, and I don't think he's wrong. You cannot tell me that Jacob DeGrom goes to the locker room, puts the glove down, gets in his car, and drives home saying, man, I was great again. We'll get him next time. It's got to be eating him alive. I mean, he is every single time going out there and just pitching at the highest level, and he can't get the support. And as somebody that made the case for this guy to possibly win MVP for his first start of the year, felt great about it. But one of the reasons I thought it was also worthwhile is what has been expected of this New York Mets team to maybe even go out there and win the NL East. And this is what they do. They let a game in which Jacob DeGrom started and the Phillies tossed Matt Moore out there result in a 5-3 Phillies win. It's embarrassing that this is still happening when this guy is on the mound tossing gems.
Especially since Matt Moore posted a 5.4 ERA in the game. It's not like he's one of the best pitchers for the Phillies, but these two are going to see each other again today at 7 p.m. Eastern. Right now, with a total at 9.5, which is interesting considering there was only 8 runs in yesterday's game. So why do you think that total is posted so high?
Well, Jacob DeGrom is now not on the mound, which is a real big deal. Because, again, you just don't hit DeGrom. That's the reality. And I actually would take a look towards the over in this game. Marcus Stroman last year had 2 starts against the Phils, went 10 innings combined, allowed 17 hits and 6 runs. Not tremendous stuff from Stroman. The big thing, though, for the Phillies offense is Marcus Stroman is going to look like a minor league pitcher compared to the arms that they've been seeing to start this season. I mean, boy, has it been tough for them. You go from Max Fried to Charlie Morton to Ian Anderson to Jacob DeGrom. Again, maybe I'm being a little negative here to Marcus Stroman, I mean, just it's been elite arm after elite arm, and they've still found ways to put up runs enough, certainly, to be 4-0. And then Chase Anderson is on the mound tonight for the Phillies, who last year saw the Mets in a start with the Toronto Blue Jays. Chase Anderson didn't last three innings, gave up four runs in the process, and the Mets actually beat the Blue Jays on that day 18-1. I don't think the Mets are going to win this game 18-1, but I think there's going to be a lot of runs scored in this game. The Mets left 10 runners on base yesterday. I like this game to go over, Aaron.
Interesting. Always love an overs game. So let's get to another game that's just on the board. Nationals, Braves. So Braves looking for the first win after being swept by the Phillies. And while the Nationals are going to make their season debut after, of course, their season was a little bit postponed due to COVID-19 issues, unfortunately, the Atlanta Braves, technically better team considering odds makers believe them in their offense and whatnot. But just overall, the total right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, 7.5 for this game. Washington Nationals are the favorite at minus 126. Yeah. I honestly thought this would be a little bit of a longer odds just considering that Scherzer is on the mound for the Nationals.
Yeah, it's a good point. And why is this line then what it is with Max Scherzer on the mound at home? Well, it's because, remember, the Nationals dealing with COVID issues, and not everybody's going to be back. We don't even know officially who's going to be out. Reports, rumors, people just trying to read tea leaves. Trey Turner could be absent for the Nationals. Josh Bell, who they brought over from Pittsburgh, might be absent for the Nationals. Kind of might just be Juan Soto by himself in that lineup, which at times feels like it could be enough. But that is, of course, damaging. I don't want to back the Braves against Scherzer. That's less than ideal. But I also don't know if I want to back the Nats with their COVID issues. I'm going to be looking to see where they post the Max Scherzer strikeout prop at. Three straight opening day starts, he has put up double-digit strikeouts. The Scherzer number will check in probably somewhere between 8.5 and 9.5, with 9.5 would likely be plus money. I think Scherzer's over K prop, Aaron, is a good way to back the ace, but remove yourself with some of the COVID issues the Nationals still have.
Yeah, or just bet that first five there. All right, guys, stay with us here on the early line. Come up next, we're going to talk about the MLB, do a little NBA recap, and some NBA preview, as well as talk about the NFL. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the early line. We're going to continue with some MLB preview with the White Sox Mariners. So yesterday, White Sox just shut out the Mariners 6-0. Of course, Carlos Rondon got pulled after five innings pitch. He struck out nine players there. They're going to play again today with the White Sox right now, favored on the FanDuel Sportsbook on the money line, minus 146 with a total at 7.5. Do you think they can shut out the Mariners again?
So, Aaron, I think I am going to be able to convince you to love this game, because I know you love trends, okay? And we talked about this trend yesterday when the White Sox were going to play the Mariners. And it's the fact that this team just wins every single time they play against the lefty. Last year, 15-0 against lefties. They've played two of them this year. They're 2-3. Yep, you guessed it. The two wins, the games that they went up against lefty pitching. So I started to break this game down a little bit last night. You know, Lucas Giolito on the mound for the Chicago White Sox. All right, they're checking in. It's minus 148. Then I start breaking down James Paxton, of course, was with the Yanks for 2 years. He spent the beginning of his career with the Seattle Mariners, now back in Seattle. And then I went, oh, never mind. Work here's done. It's a lefty. They're playing a lefty again. Let's not overthink this, Aaron. Let's not overthink this. They beat lefties every single time they go against them. Every single time. So I would look to back the White Sox here up against the lefty. And if you want to do it a little more specifically, you can take a look at the first five number. Because, of course, if we're targeting the starting lefty pitcher, the first five is a better representation. And the first five has been tremendous for this White Sox team. They lost three out of the four games to the LA Angels. However, they won three out of the four first five against the LA Angels. Giolito won the first five in his opening day start when they played LA, even though they ultimately lost that game. So I think the White Sox in the first five, you lay a half a run. I don't think it'll be too expensive. I definitely think that is worth the play here when you consider Giolito's on the mound, the hot starts that the White Sox have been getting off to, and, of course, the fact that they're playing against a lefty.
That's a great trend, Kev. Love that. How about the Dodgers-A's? So the Dodgers will look to build on a 10-3 win over the A's. Corey Seager, Zach McKinstry each had a double and three RBIs, and McKinstry logging three hits in the win, while Justin Turner had a home run and two RBIs, and Will Smith added a solo home run as well. So they were crushing it. A's at plus money. While you might think that's a little bit tempting, I want to see more signs of life from them. Plus, I don't see Clayton Kershaw having two bad games in a row to start the year.
So does anybody think we were overreacting yesterday when we said the A's weren't going to make the playoffs? I get it. Astros, then Dodgers. They're getting embarrassed.
Terrible back-to-back series.
they're getting embarrassed right now at home. Here are the results for the A's this year. They lose 8-1, then 9-5, then 9-1, then 9-2, and then 10-3. They've lost by at least four in every single game, and by seven or more in four of the five losses that they have already on this season. They're getting dominated in these games. Now, do you want to come in and lay minus 162 with the Dodgers on the road? Maybe not. A's are due. They can't fall to 0-6. We've heard it all before. I'm not sure I want to grab the Dodgers at minus 162. I know I don't want to back the Athletics at plus 136. I think there's two simple, okay, at least easily palatable ways to approach this game. And it's either the over or just specifically the team total for the Dodgers. Because, again, the Athletics have now allowed at least eight runs in every single game. Their opponent team totals have cashed in all five games. The over has cashed in all five games as well. But, again, it's in large part due to the fact that the opponents are putting up so many runs. One of the reasons, though, I'm not mad if Aaron, if somebody wants to play the 8.5 as a whole, is you mentioned not thinking that Kershaw will have two poor starts back to back. I don't mind that, but I am worried about the fact that he was pretty bad during spring training and then got tanked immediately in the debut. Now, that was Coors, so this could be different, but I am not that upset with playing the full game total and leaving myself open to the idea that he gets rocked once again. That 8.5 number doesn't scare me too much. I think you can play that and maybe the Dodgers team total as well. Play them both and maybe look for double overs.
Love it. And there's 14 games that you can bet on for the MLB for today. I feel like there's just always so many games with baseball that there's so many things and topics we can hit. But we want to switch it over to the NBA now. So last night, favorites went 4-3 straight up, but underdogs dominated 6-1 against the spread. Timberwolves, Mavs, and Cavs pulled upsets, while the Wizards, Knicks, and Rockets covered in straight up losses. Overs went 4-3. So let's start off with the Nets-Knicks game. Of course, I feel like we keep beating the dead horse here. James Harden, he obviously exited this game. So we're not seeing the big three, the trio playing together. I don't know when that's eventually going to happen, but they did get this win. It was a good win. Kyrie Irving, of course, with 40 points to pull this team along. But let's say we're in a position, though, Kev, which I want to ask you about, and Kyrie Irving's now overworked because James Harden's out. With James Harden, obviously, we were thinking that he was going to get injured because he was doing all the work for the two that were sitting on the bench. It might be this revolving door where they're kind of feeding off each other's injuries because they had to put in so much work to get these wins. And, of course, they want that number one spot in the Eastern Conference standings.
Yeah, you know, Aaron, I think the angle that I would approach where I would be a little more concerned with the Nets is not the energy that they're going to need to exert to hold on to the one seed, but more the idea that they're just going to have to keep trading places, possibly. I'll play today. You play tomorrow. All right, we'll both play Thursday. All three of us can play Sunday. Then we'll all be off Tuesday. I just don't see how they will play enough games to calm the concerns that some have over the lack of reps with those three guys all on the court at the same time. I just don't see how they're able to do that. Now, the way you could calm those concerns, though, is just by telling people, hey, how could it possibly be a bad thing if all they do is win now that at some point Kyrie, Harden, and Durant will be on the court? Fair enough. The other alternative, though, Aaron, is to start to worry about this team's health. The Durant stuff goes without saying, okay? Do you know that Anthony Davis played a game more recently than Kevin Durant? Again, for all of the Anthony Davis concern, Durant is the one who has been missing longer than AD. Kyrie doesn't have a great history of health in his career either, but he's available. But now James Harden, and that's a very concerning way in which this game went for Harden, because he hurt the hamstring, came back quickly because he loves playing, and you give Harden the credit for that. He doesn't like sitting out. And then immediately removed from this game after 4 minutes of work. That's concerning to me, but injuries happen. They're now going to be careful with him. One thing I can tell you for sure, Aaron, Harden's MVP case totally done. There's no way he plays enough now to put a dent in the Jokic race. That, again, really shouldn't have been a conversation anyway, but the Harden MVP case, that's done.
Well, the whole MVP cases we keep making on these players who keep getting injured, I don't know if it's something weird in the water this year, but I just feel like everybody's going down, and it's going to make it so interesting come the playoffs when we have to bet on one of these teams, and we haven't really seen all of them play together. I mean, we talk about the Nets and the Lakers and how much we think they could potentially win it, but maybe one of these other teams will stun somebody. Maybe somebody like the Mavs. Kidding. I'm absolutely kidding about that. But they did beat the Jazz last night, 111 to 103. Looking at the stat sheet right now, it looks like the Jazz from beyond the three-point line, 12 of 44. Meanwhile, 47% shooting for three-pointers for the Mavs. So, tough night for the Jazz, but the Mavs kind of getting those wins on the board lately.
Yeah, great for the Mavericks. Again, we've been talking about this here on the show. They've been putting the results up that you want to see. And no Kristaps in this game either. Holding Utah to 103 is certainly something. And let's try to make this clear, okay? A lot of people, you don't want to see the Nuggets. You don't want to see the Clippers. You don't want to see the Mavericks. There is almost no team in the West, outside of maybe whoever occupies the eighth spot, that people are going to be like, okay, I feel comfortable with that game. I feel comfortable with that matchup. And there's a world in which the Mavericks somehow end up in the eight if they, say, lose the play-in game. Like, that's very, very possible here. But the Mavericks have the ability to enter a series and say, we have the best player on the floor in Luka Doncic. The one thing that came out of this game that I think is definitely noteworthy is the Dorian Finney-Smith performance and then the following comments. Scored 23 points, knocked down five threes, and he said, well, I knew I was going to get some good looks because they were going to stick Gobert on me. Now, Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year favorite, has Dorian Finney-Smith saying, yeah, well, I knew I was going to be able to get some good looks because Rudy Gobert is on me? People have wondered about Rudy Gobert and the viability in the postseason. Ultimately, it can be hit or miss. But if teams believe that they can go small and exploit Gobert in that way, I know his perimeter defense has improved. I understand all of that. That is something that then becomes really, really interesting, and how the Utah Jazz adjust will be crucial over a seven-game series. The Jazz as vulnerable as any of these other teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and just want to quickly mention that Rudy Gobert is right now the favorite to win the Defensive Player of the Year on the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 220. Stick with us here on the Early Line. Thanks for joining us this morning. Coming up next, we're going to talk about NBA games that are on the board tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Time to get to some NBA preview. So tonight we have the Lakers, Raptors. Raptors, of course, on a back-to-back after a great win over the Wizards, thanks to our hero of the night, Gary Trent Jr. Lakers have been scoring low with the total not posted yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Raptors, they're laying 2.5 in this spot. Kev, you feel like you could back the Raptors here?
So the Raptors last three games on the second leg of a back-to-back, which is what they find themselves here tonight on, real bad. Last three second legs, Detroit Pistons in Detroit. They were 5.5-point favorites. They lost the game by 14. Then they played Houston. They were 8.5-point favorites. The Rockets went on to snap their 20-game losing streak, beating the Raptors by 18 points. And then three times ago on their second leg, they played the Bulls as 3.5-point dogs and lost the game by 23 points. I mean, they've just got absolutely dominated the last three times out there on the second leg of a back-to-back. Now, you could say that only the Pistons game has happened since the trade deadline, different team. They've gotten a little bit healthier with COVID, even if Kyle Lowry isn't typically out there. And I think that is acceptable. But the two wins that they've put up, their last two wins, are the only two that they have put up since the All-Star break. They beat the Warriors by a gazillion, 53 to be exact. Steph and Draymond didn't play, and also the game got to a point, I really don't care. They beat the team by 53. The game was a complete joke. Then they played the Wizards, who don't have Bradley Beal available to them. We've talked about, you know, the Wizards at so many points throughout the year, and now Beal just doesn't play. It's very sad. They're totally irrelevant now. It's unfortunate that he got banged up. They played a Wizards team without Beal and needed a Gary Trent buzzer beater to not get upset on their home floor. I can't back the Raptors on the second leg of a back-to-back. I really don't love the idea of laying a number with the Raptors at all. The Lakers have done well when they are playing a beatable opponent during this stretch without LeBron and AD, because I think they know how valuable the result is to them to try and get those winnable games. I'll back the Lakers here, Aaron, in this spot.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know they were that bad on a back-to-back. Another game on the board, 76ers laying 2 against the Celtics. Now, the Sixers have split their last 6 games. Celtics have split their last 10. Now, the 76ers are 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 games overall. Something to keep in mind. 76ers are also 1-8 against the spread in the last 9 meetings in Boston. The Celtics, they've been a little bit better against the spread, 5-2 in their last 7 games played on one-day rest, 5-2 against the spread in their last 7 games overall. And as for the total here, the under is 6-2 in the 76ers' last 8 games overall. The under is 5-0 in the Celtics' last 5 overall, with the total right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook at 222. Given these against the spread stats, I don't know who I feel comfortable here. Obviously, 76ers are only laying 2. That's come up a point overnight. But I think you might want to play the total here.
Yeah, Aaron, I think you made some great points for people to back the under in this matchup. As far as the side goes, this is all about whether or not Embiid plays. To me, if Embiid is in, I'm back in Philly. I don't care about these two recent wins. I don't want to say I don't care, but I'm not going to lose my mind over the two most recent victories for the Boston Celtics. They're 2-2 in their last 4 home games. They lost to the Pelicans and the Mavericks, good teams, right? Or at least competent. The Rockets, they blew the doors off of. Okay, great. And then they beat the Hornets by 30. But this is now a Hornets team that's down LaMelo Ball and Gordon Hayward. They were 9.5-point favorites to the Hornets and 12-point favorites to the Rockets. Okay, good. So they beat up on really, really bad teams, or at least bad situations for those teams coming into the game here. With a tight number, I don't trust Boston to get the job done, Aaron. As long as Embiid is in, I would play Philly.
Yeah, kind of have to wait on that news to make sure that he will be in for this game. Another game on the board, Pelicans Hawks. So New Orleans obviously has been playing shorthanded their last 3 games. Their top 2 scorers, Zion Williamson with his right thumb sprain and Brandon Ingram is right first MTP irritation, are listed questionable on Monday's official injury report. So something we keep in mind there. These two just played each other last Friday with the Hawks winning on the road 126-103. Right now, the Hawks are laying 4. Do you feel that given those two players are questionable, the Pelicans have been playing shorthanded, that the Hawks could easily win this game again?
Yeah, I'm a little confused even by the number, or maybe not confused. Doesn't the number suggest that New Orleans will be getting some players back? in this game? That's how it appears to me.
I'm not sure. I feel like these two are always kind of close and competitive with each other, that maybe they're thinking, granted they do come back, it will be closer. I mean, I guess this line would be laying that, I guess, if Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram were in.
It's just, in New Orleans, right, the Pelicans didn't have a bazillion people. The Hawks didn't have Trae Young. And Atlanta laid a point on the road. Now, we're in Atlanta. I think we're expecting Trae Young to play, and it only goes to four. And the Hawks, by the way, in New Orleans won the game 126-103. For me, right, if the Pelicans players are back, then this is it's a different ball game here. Lonzo, by the way, coming off this awesome game against Houston, which was cool to see. You hope Lonzo can figure it out. He said T-shirt Zoe is back. I legitimately could see a world in which that matters for him. The mental games for these players is legitimate. This is a game. It's a wait and see. We've had a zillion of these throughout the year. I need to see who is in. But that number is telling me that, like, Zion and or Ingram could be back tonight. I'll be interested to see who is in and then where the line settles.
Yes, for sure. Another interesting game on the board, I think, is the Grizzlies Heat. Heat laying 5, total at 217. While this might not be the most important game, it's just interesting because the Heat are looking for their 5th straight win. And the last time these two teams met, the Grizzlies actually snapped Miami's 5-game win streak as Ja Morant hit a game-winning layup with one second left on the clock. But the Heat go on these win streaks and losing streaks. Before this 4-game win streak, they had lost 6 games straight. So if, let's say, the Heat do drop this one, we're going to have to bet against them for the next at least 5 games.
Yeah, apparently. I love that, though. They're now trying to get back to a 5-game win streak. They have to play Memphis. Memphis is playing some good ball in their own right. They've covered in 8 of their last 9 games. In those games, they're actually 6-3, which is nothing to sneeze at. They just won in Philadelphia. I know Embiid didn't play, but they were still dogs in Philly, as most teams are, and got the job done. But Miami right now, and again, Cleveland, Golden State, not a tremendous, list of opponents there. At Indy in Oladipo's debut, and then a win over the Knicks to, snap what was that disaster stretch that they had found themselves on. But with Victor Oladipo now, Miami's a team I'm looking to back here. Memphis has been so good against the number. But I think the Heat, maybe even a little revenge on the mind, Aaron, for that loss in Memphis. I think I would be rocking with Miami tonight in this game.
Interesting. Another game on the board, we have the Trailblazers and Clippers Western Conference showdown here, of course, on a Tuesday. Clippers' 6th game of the team's 9-game homestand. Now, despite missing 2 starters because of injuries, the Clippers easily handed the shorthanded Lakers in a wire-to-wire 18-point victory on Sunday. Now, the one thing to note, though, is the Trailblazers, 7 of their last 10 games, they have won them. But L.A. is 18-8 in the Staples Center this season. So which way do you want to play this game right now with the Clippers laying 5.5 and the total at 226?
Yeah, the Blazers are on the season. 8-4 against the number as a road dog. 15-9 overall on the road. The Clippers have been good at the Staples Center there, but I never trust this team to have all their players available. I think this team, maybe more than any, will give you like 10 minutes till tip Paul George isn't playing. 10 minutes till tip, sorry, no Kawhi tonight. I just don't trust the Clippers. And, as the Blazers are starting to get, healthier and healthier and healthier, they're a team that you would be interested in. The one knock on Portland is this current stretch of good basketball has come against a lot of bad teams, right? Look at the wins. They beat Miami by 3 in Miami on a very questionable foul call that ended the game. They beat Orlando and didn't even cover, and that was the Orlando post-trade deadline team. I know Lillard didn't play, but still. They beat the Raptors, who have been struggling. They beat the Pistons. Come on now. They beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, who, by the way, just as a quick subplot, what a disgrace that team is right now. They're just losing by 30 on a regular basis. There's tanking, and then there's whatever the heck is going on in Oklahoma City. I mean, it is a disgrace what's going on there. Getting railroaded by 40 points as if that's supposed to be normal. That team is going to be getting 20 points at some point during the rest of this season, and that's unbelievable. Yeah, but to me, you look at the fact that Milwaukee beat up on Portland pretty good here. It's a game you struggle with from a side's perspective, but I can see Portland hanging around. Yeah, I would still lean towards Portland. But I'll tell you this, too, Aaron. We talk a lot about the standings in the Eastern Conference. It's very viable that this is a preview for a first-round matchup. If the season ended today, it doesn't. But if it did, this would be the 3-6.
Yeah, and that's so interesting there. But let's switch it over to another game, the Bucks-Warriors. Warriors, first of four games at home. Now, last time these two met, Bucks won 138-99 on Christmas Day. A terrible present for the Warriors. Now, the Bucks on a three-game win streak and 3-1 without Giannis. The Bucks also have been hot lately. 16 of their past 20 games have been wins. But one thing to note, the Bucks are 3-8. Against the spread in their last 11 road games, 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 games against a team with a losing record, and 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 games just overall again. So it's interesting here right now. The Bucks are laying 6.5 on the road. Do you feel comfortable backing them just given some of those against the spread numbers I just gave you?
Yeah, they're not ideal numbers on Milwaukee, but there's also not really any ideal numbers with this Warriors team. They're not playing. I mean, they're in a concerning point of their schedule. They've gone out there and now lost 7 of their last 8 games. And yeah, I know some spots without Steph, some spots with Steph. That, of course, does matter. But now they're playing a Milwaukee team that we saw, I know on Christmas is Christmas and Draymond didn't play, but we saw absolutely dominate them. Here's one of the under-the-radar subplots, and maybe not. I think actually now it's probably becoming a little bit more of a talking point. But it's a fact that the Warriors might actually miss the play-in. The play-in. That's the best. Like, for the NBA, the Warriors getting into the play-in is tremendous. Single elimination, Steph, sign me up. But they're a half game up on the Pelicans right now, and only a game and a half up on the Sacramento Kings. They are closer to Sacramento, who sits down in the 12th spot, than they are the San Antonio Spurs, who is one spot ahead of them in 9. The Warriors are a mile away from not being in the play-in. This team needs to put results up on the board here. And if you were to then say, well, I'd rather back the Dubs because they're desperate, I could understand that. I think this is another game, Aaron, you want to keep eyes on the total for. Milwaukee could probably close their eyes and put up 120 on Golden State. And if Golden State's going to stay competitive, they're going to need to score the basketball here. If this number is sub 240, and I'd like to think it would be, it could be worth a look towards the over.
Yes, and the two other games on the board that we do have are the Denver Nuggets right now laying 13.5 over the Detroit Pistons, total not posted yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And then we also have the Bulls and Pacers, with the Pacers laying 1.5 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. As you may have seen in the news yesterday, Sam Darnold is going to the Carolina Panthers. So we want to set the line for all top 5 QBs in this, of course, upcoming NFL draft to be gone by the time the Panthers get to pick at number 8. Kev, set that line for me.
Yeah, and the reason you want to do this is because you're just trying to figure out why the heck the Panthers traded for Sam Darnold. I mean, surely one of these guys was going to be on the board, right? I mean, it's why I think this is a good question to ask. Now, there are some draft position props available now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll be talking about these throughout the lead up to the draft. Tomorrow we're going to expand a little bit the conversation around Darnold, just packed today as it pertained to the college basketball recap. I think this is a viable question. It's probably still a number for them all to be off the board that would check in at like plus 300. But Aaron, the draft props that are available on FanDuel, there's no Lawrence or Wilson, Mac Jones is 6.5. Trey Lance is 7.5. And Justin Fields is 3.5. So it's possible that they are all gone. And maybe that's why the Panthers traded for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and I feel like the major question, of course, we'll be talking about this more tomorrow, is just why the Panthers are consistently getting rid of their QBs. Why is it never good enough for them, obviously? Maybe they're just, and then they pick Sam Darnold of all people. Obviously, maybe they'll have some type of scheme or system that they think Sam Darnold's going to be great in, but considering everything we saw with the Jets, and I know everyone always blames it on, oh, it's the New York Jets, but I'm just a little surprised the Panthers would want him that badly.
Yeah, I just, the reason I struggle with it is because it felt like they would be in a position to take one of the quarterbacks in this year's class. But it also then makes you wonder, and it's why we're kind of doing this little set the line here on all five quarterbacks being gone. Did the Panthers get the idea that they would all be gone and they wouldn't be able to actually have success trading up? Or maybe there was only like two guys they liked and they know both will be gone by the time eight. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow here on the Early Line, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern on Sports Grid Sirius XM, Channel 204. See you then.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.